Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and the way we live our lives please you, make you glad. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In one of Flannery O'Connor's short stories, there's a young woman who is disabled. She's a daughter, and she has lived with her mother's disappointed expectations for her all of her life. This mother's resentment comes out sideways, of course, a sort of indirect meanness, steady criticism. Cripple, misfit, hopeless. Those are the names this young woman hears herself called in the way her mother talks to her and treats her. Finally, over breakfast one morning, the daughter reaches the edge of what she can take in, and she shouts at her mother, "Did you ever look inside yourself and see what you are not?" Occasionally, when we are paying attention to our own growth, we look deep inside ourselves to try to see the truth of who we are. But much more often, other people are the mirrors that we hold up to see our reflection. We know our best features, that we are funny or clever, in their approval of us. Our shame is knowing that we would not look nearly as attractive in someone else's eyes if they knew us completely. This is natural, human. Everyone needs a mirror, someone we can keep coming back to create and then to validate our sense of who we are. When you're a child, a parent or a grandparent mirrors back to you not only who you are, but what you can become. At adolescence, it's friends. Later in life, this is how we choose a spouse or a partner. We choose the most important people in our lives, not only for who they are, but for who we are in their eyes. They reflect back to us, ourselves, by their facial expressions, their tone of voice, the attention they give us. The problem is, many of our mirrors are broken. The reflection they return to us is not always the truth. The people in whose eyes we see ourselves, they're flawed too. Their vision is distorted, just like ours is, by fear or competition, their own pain or insecurity. Just like us, they see incompletely. And so our good features get exaggerated, and so do our inadequacies and our flaws. Sometimes we look for too many mirrors. Our heads turn this way and that. Our identity gets caught up in trying to win the approval of more other faces than we can possibly satisfy. The spiritual path, a path to wholeness, begins with a decision to stop letting broken mirrors tell you who you are. It's to realize, finally, that there is only one significant other who can offer you a truthful and life-giving reflection. Only one face that can be depended on to look back at you with absolute love and uncompromising truth. Only in God's eyes will you find your best, your most fully human self. The season of Lent typically begins with the story of Jesus' temptation in the desert just before he began his ministry. But that story only makes sense if you know that just before he went out there, Jesus was baptized. He came up out of the water and he saw an open face, and it was looking straight at him. "You are my beloved child," a voice said. "You make me happy." He was given a name, beloved child. "This is who I am," Jesus took in. "I am chosen. I am loved by God." This was the reflection that gave him the identity that defined and directed the whole rest of his life. Immediately, Mark says, there were reasons to doubt that identity. Jesus spent 40 days out in the wilderness. He got hungry and lonely and afraid. There were other voices, and every one of them began, "If you really are the Son of God." Like us, Jesus was tempted to look over and catch a glimpse of himself in other, less truthful mirrors. Those mirrors are everywhere around us, too. Advertising that tries to convince us that buying something new will make a better version of us. Ambition for some success or power that will make us appear shinier. Charming people, powerful enough to pull us toward a vision of ourselves that is both bigger and smaller than who we really are. We can lose ourselves, and sometimes we do. There's a word in one of the tribal languages of Ghana. Sankofa is the word, and it means to go back and get it, to remember, to recover something that has been lost, maybe even yourself. In the story Blood Diamond, which some of us have seen as a movie and some of us have lived through, a Mende village in West Africa is attacked and destroyed during the civil war in Sierra Leone. It is a true story that young boys were taken from their homes and renamed soldier, trained to fight among the rebels, right alongside of them. In the movie, a boy named Dia, the 12-year-old son of a fisherman named Solomon, is taken by the rebels, separated from his family. He was just 12. The whole family is lost to each other. Solomon, Dia's father, is forced to work in the diamond fields. And one day, as he's working, he finds an enormous, flawless diamond. It is rare. It is worth a fortune. Dangerously, he hides it. In the scene we're about to watch, Solomon has come back to find the diamond. He will use it to pay smugglers who will help him reunite his family. He makes it all the way to the field where the diamond is hidden. His head is down. He is looking for the precise spot. And then he looks up and he sees his son, Dia, who is now an angry soldier. Dia, who holds a gun that is pointed at Solomon's head.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go?
so sorry. I'm so sorry you missed that. I can't show you this scene. In this scene, Solomon and Dia face each other. And Dia is about to shoot his father. And as the tears roll down both their faces, Solomon says to him, to his son, over and over again, "You are not a soldier. I am your father who loves you. And you will come home and be my son again. I am your father who loves you. And you will come home and be my son again. Your name is my son. I reclaim you." Sankofa. The world has a way of misnaming people. This is what creates injustice. Society loses its way, sees itself in a broken mirror. Our society, we have learned to prop up and bolster our own reflection by arranging the image in the mirror so that some people are always underneath us. In the mirror, they look small. Their image is distorted. We give them names: the poor, illegals, criminals, takers, dangerous people. And just like us, they become the names that they have been given. It's only when we have a true image of ourselves, when we see ourselves in the eyes of a God who says, "You are my beloved child," that we can feel big enough, secure enough, loved enough to release others from the world's pinched view of them. This is the work of justice, to release others, every other, from the misshapen, hopeless picture that has been drawn of their lives, to call them by their God-given name, to say, "I see you, child of God. This is who you are, people of Campbell United Methodist Church. You are loved by God. And just like that one who has given you your name, you are doers of justice. The name you have been given, who you are, draws you, compels you even, to pull others with you into that waterfall where God's love and justice pour down like water until we are all drenched in it. Amen.